The doctrine would be for the future last days of the prophetic program. In their case, in Israel's case, it would be the tribulation and kingdom. It didn't come back then because of this parenthesis, the dispensation of grace. But after we're caught up, then that prophesied tribulation and kingdom for the Jews will come on this earth. Just like Jeremiah 35, 30 verse 5 says, they go into the wrath, and the believing of Israel are saved out of it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30 verse 5. They go into that wrath, and they're saved out of it. But we don't go to any wrath. We in this present dispensation of grace are delivered from the wrath to come because we believe on Christ in this dispensation that he died for our sins and is risen. Like 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, we are delivered from the wrath to come. We don't go into it. We're delivered from it. And we're caught up. And so you get a picture of the doctrine of the future in Hebrews through Revelation. You get what will be the hope of who God will be dealing with in that tribulation, and you'll get a picture of what kind of things they'll come up against, and what will be their hope, and what they'll have to sustain them during that time, what the Word of God will tell them and sustain them during that time. Right now, God has no favorites, but when no difference body of Christ, the fullness of the Gentiles body of Christ is caught up, then there will be God going back to Israel, the Jews, and concentrating on them in a time of Jacob's trouble like was prophesied. So I hope that gives a context of that. So when you see this letter Jude, it is the doctrine of the future. It gives us a look into what will be the way of God for the future tribulation. So here's Jude we've been looking at. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Now, that is very important that we understand the context of that doctrine, what Jude means. And I hope we've been seeing that during here. I hope we've been seeing the context of that, we talked about it a lot about it the other time. I hope we got a clear picture that a doctrine of temptation. Revelation says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. They will keep, that's why the unction is to keep yourselves in the love of God. They will have to endure to the end. They will have to endure the great tribulation to the end. So it's a doctrine of them, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord unto Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It'll be endured to the end to be, saved, part of that saved national context that is for Israel. So we talked about that last week. We saw some things related to that. Like he says, Jude says, the doctrine for them is to keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It is the context of overcoming and enduring to the end. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Well, right now there's no difference between Jew or Greek, but Jew or Gentile. We know that in this dispensation of grace, God is forming a body where there's no big difference between Jew or Gentile. It is the plan that God has for the Gentiles that is first and foremost to be saved into a body where there's no difference, that is being going to be caught up to a heavenly inheritance. So, but in that, after we're caught up to that purpose, God goes back to his earthly purpose of prophecy. Jews and the nations. Jews and the nations. There will be a difference on this earth after we're caught up. And the Jews will be the subject, and they'll have to endure to the end so that they get to rule over the nations as kings and priests on the earth. And we saw that context from Exodus chapter 19 last week and how Peter talked about those Jews that were of the little flock were a part of that circumstance and how in Revelations that will be that circumstance. So that's what Jude is, the context of Jude telling them this is. You know, and a lot of times, you know, people who don't rightly divide take these scriptures, without right division, we're usually taught to take liberty with the scriptures of God. And God wants you to rightly divide them. So, people would look at that scripture and they would say, hey, that sounds good for me to keep myself in the love of God, looking for the mercy unto eternal life, spiritualizing that. I say, yeah, that's for me and that's what I'm supposed to do is to keep myself in the love of God. But that's not what God's context is today. This is very important that I hope this last week's study and some of the things I showed you show you that there's a context, enduring to the end, a great tribulation. That's not the will of God presently. We're in a dispensation of His grace. We don't have to endure to the end to get into a kingdom promised for Israel. That's not what God is doing, and I hope the things we've been looking at have been able to show somewhat the things of what we've been talking about that. Now, Hebrews through Revelation is the context of Jude, the doctrine of the future, and so we left off at Hebrews, some things of Hebrews, like it says here, Hebrews, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. In Jude, the same context. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Now, Hebrews talks about that profession, to the people to whom it's speaking. Maybe I can clarify by that. No, if I know Hebrews is written to Hebrews, that's very important. Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. God will be dealing with the Hebrews in the future. There are no difference now, so that letter's not the doctrine for the but now. But after the body is caught up, God will be dealing with the Hebrews, and the letter Hebrews will be the first of that nine for the future, that tribulation doctrine. And their profession will be kings and priests on this earth. Their profession in the context will be priesthood, ministering priests of Israel. Ministering to who? The nations. There'll be a difference, a favorite nation under the prophetic program. So that I hope we see that context clearly by what was shown last week, and I hope that that we understand the things that are related to that kind of there. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What you get in the Hebrews, and it's been some great teaching on that in the Berean Bible study, and in the they had that Pastor Kurtz taught that in the Shorewood Church, and the great series by Pastor Terry McLean in his Dispensational Answers Room. He's taking on that whole book of Hebrews, and you get to understand that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of their faith, who for the joy that was set down for Him endured the cross. You get the understanding that Hebrews explains that the cross for the saints of Israel. Hebrews explains the cross for the saints of Israel. It's an introduction into their doctrine, showing them what the cross means for them. So that's why they will be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, because they will have to keep themselves in the love of God. They'll have to endure to the end this great tribulation. The kingdom saints will be the focus of the trib, the Jews of Israel. Christ, both author and finisher of their faith, how He... All right, yes, thank you, Pastor Cody. That was in Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Let me get the setup here just a little bit here. Okay, it's like we said here, keep taking on from where we left off, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Like I was trying to say on earlier before I got cut off, this shows the kingdom saints the focus of the tribulation. Christ, both author and finisher of their faith, how he suffered for their sake as an example for them to endure to the end to get the kingdom. That will be the context of that doctrine in Hebrews through Revelation. And so what we're getting here through these letters is the context which Jude talks about of them, of those saints keeping themselves, enduring to the end to get into that kingdom promised them. And so that's the context of that doctrine. Peter continues that context. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is to the Hebrews, enduring to the end to get into that kingdom that was prophesied for them. God lets us know in this dispensation of grace, Romans 5:11, we now, right now, have the atonement. We don't have to receive the end of our faith. The moment you believed in this dispensation of grace, if you have believed that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins and is risen, you now, right now, have the full atonement in a dispensation of his grace. So Peter's doctrine, as Hebrews and all those nine writings, Peter's doctrine belongs to that those last grouping. That is for a different purpose than what's going on now. The salvation of your souls would be what Jude calls the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, they will have to, Jude tells those saints, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, the salvation of their souls would be the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let's go to the Old Testament to see some of the context of what that mercy will be toward Israel. With some scriptures here to make sure I can have them to read here for you. So we're going to look at that mercy that they will receive of the kingdom, and they relinquish the kingdom for Israel. We'll look at the prophetic context of those things they will look for, that the end of their faith, the salvation of their souls. Ezekiel chapter 36, just a little bit. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Get that context? He's going to be sanctified in Israel's eyes. The context is Israel, and God will be sanctified in Israel before the nations. the eyes of the heathen nation. He'll be sanctified in them, Israel. So you see, the context is that favored nation, of the Jews, and they're getting that kingdom that was prophesied. And for I will take you from, verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. The context is Israel. That thing about clean water is for Israel, sprinkling clean water on them. That is for Israel. We are in a dispensation where we have complete atonement. Israel is looking for that to come to them in that kingdom. They're looking for this glorious mercy of the prophetic plan that we're reading here. This is not to us. This is of the prophetic plan. Let's go on. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and with the flesh. The context is he's speaking to Israel in the Old Testament. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. That is the context of the new covenant to Israel. He makes a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and that will be a glorious mercy to them of that tribulation. They get that kingdom, and they get this that new covenant of blessedness, and as a nation. And so that is not to us, and that's what the Jude is talking about, the context we're reading in Ezekiel here. And he's talking about that context from Ezekiel that we're reading. Let's go to Zechariah and look at the context continues of the mercy that Israel will receive in the after the tribulation to come. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 37. Zechariah chapter 37, the mercy that the Israel as a nation will be looking for in the tribulation, just a little bit from the Old Testament. It's so much about it in that Old Testament, the things, but just a little bit of Zechariah 37:12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So that's a context of things for Israel, what they'll be looking for, and why they're told by Jude to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of God unto the eternal life. That's why they'll be looking for these things that were promised Israel, and Israel will be looking for them. There is so that the Israel in the tribulation, the believers on the kingdom doctrine in the tribulation, who will be Israel, the Jews of Israel, the Hebrews, that the letter Hebrews is written to. Let's go to Zechariah and look at some more of the context of the future tribulation, what mercy they'll be looking for, what mercy Israel will be looking for unto eternal life. Zechariah, just a second. Let me see here. I got too many scriptures and it didn't show up. Okay, here we go. And here we go. Okay, we can. Okay. Zechariah 12. Look at what Israel will be looking for in that earthly kingdom context. Look at what their hope will be in enduring to the end of that terrible tribulation. Notice here, Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a fountain open. This is Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. That is exactly the context of the national salvation for Israel. That's the context of them getting born again. They were a nation in God's will in the Old Testament, and they got out of God's will in the Old Testament. So they are a nation of the context of the kingdom plan. They're a nation that needs to be born again. They were his firstborn, it explains it in Deuteronomy. And they need to be born again as a nation. So the mercy unto eternal life there will be looking for are just a smidgen of the things related to that new covenant mercy of the Lord, that born again national circumstance for Israel. They are the ones that get to be born again. In this dispensation of grace, we know the Gentiles were never born into God's plan, were never God's firstborn, needing to be born again. But we know that about Israel from reading the Bible. They were God's firstborn, and they got away from God, so they needed to be a nation born again. And that's what that whole circumstance is about. This is the mercy we've been looking at, that they will be looking for in the tribulation, the mercy unto eternal life, to get that full forgiveness, to be saved out of that time of Jacob's trouble. And so we see that from what we see in those writings in Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a portion. Peter talks in the same context. Peter says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, this scripture is in a context of scriptures in which Peter explains the things to Israel about things that are going on in that prophetic program. And so when he's talking about the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, he's talking about things to whom a time people will be subject to. He's talking to people, giving a doctrine to a people who will be subject to the day of temptation that shall come upon the earth to try men, as it says in Revelation. They'll be subject to the day of temptation, the time of tribulation. And so the unction is that these things here will be for the patience of those saints of the tribulation. God will deliver them in the midst of that great tribulation. He will deliver them in that tribulation. They will be saved out of it, like Jeremiah 30, verse 5 says. They go into the time of Jacob's trouble, and they're saved out of it. Jacob is saved out of it. So, therefore, Jude tells them to keep themselves in the mercy and the love of God, looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. So, John, let's go to John and see some context from John about these things. 1 John here. It says here, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Doctrine for the tribulation. Now, this is glorious doctrine of God. And people have a tendency to make spiritual application, but that's not the rightly dividing. We must understand the dispensational context of these things. And because if you take on this doctrine, you're going to go somewhere wrong because of the context. This doctrine has a context that is specific. And it, John was one of the 12 apostles of Israel, of the prophetic program. And he says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In that tribulation, that future tribulation, the believing of Israel will overcome that time of temptation. They'll overcome by enduring the time of temptation, enduring to the end. That'll either be their death or the end of the tribulation. John here points to the faith and works doctrine of James, in that their faith overcomes the world. This is why Jude says to them, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's that context of them in a time of tribulation to overcome that by enduring to the end and getting to that kingdom, would be enduring unto that kingdom hope that would be for the nation Israel. And Revelation shows the time at that time, that time of tribulation. He that leadeth into captivity, Revelation 13:10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the and faith of the saints. That point, here's another one. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. The believing Jews of the tribulation exercising patience in the midst of a terrible time, they will have to continue to persevere in the doctrine of the program or be left out of the kingdom. There is no dispensation of grace in this doctrine. Paul's writings are dispensation of grace. Here is the doctrine of walking in faith and works, enduring unto the end to get something. But what we are in a dispensation of grace presently, where we give God. In spite of the everything, we have all the spiritual blessings God has to give. But what we're looking at when we look at all these things, these last nine writings, we're not getting dispensation of grace doctrine. We're getting tribulation, enduring to get the end to get something doctrine that is to Israel. And so we see the context of that time of terrible tribulation that is to be on earth. We get a glimpse into the doctrine of the future. It says here, Revelation 7:14-15, and he said unto them, sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. That is the hope of the saints of Israel. They come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. They endured in faith and works unto the end. That's the doctrine of doing to get the kingdom. This shows the end result of the Jews, the end result that will be to the Jews of the tribulation. When they do as Jude says, they keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When they do that unto the end, by doing so, they get into the kingdom prophesied and rule the nations. They'll have power over the nations on this earth. That's the plan for this earth. And so we've seen through this doctrine, we've seen Jude's doctrine of the kingdom is completely in line with God's prophecy program for Israel. They are to keep yourselves in the love of God because of the administration to them is to show faith and works. But because of the nation rejecting the kingdom in Acts, God brought out a wonderful and glorious unknown plan for the saving of mankind. God interrupted that plan. Since Israel didn't want to be to the salvation of the nations, they rejected the little flock of Peter's and the 12's group of believing saints. They rejected that little flock. The nation was not prepared to be God's prophesied nation. So God had brought out a plan that he told nobody about. He set that program aside for the future and brought out a dispensation of grace. That's what he's presently doing. Because of their rejection, God brought out this wonderful and glorious unknown plan for the saving of mankind before the wrath, before the tribulation. He gave this dispensation, this present dispensation of the grace of God to Paul, who wrote it down as God wanted him to. We are now in a dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles, and it was given to Paul. That tells us a lot about the context of God's gospel. The people hate this word. The people who don't rightly divide hate the word dispensation of grace. People, by their nature, want to be in the romance of things that happened in another time past circumstance. People, by their flesh, want to appropriate themselves as favored, as a favored nation of people, as a peculiar people, a kings and priests. They like the romance of that, and they will fight right division truth because they want to appropriate something that they would like themselves to be. Not what God would like them to be, but what they would like themselves. But God is doing something glorious which they ignore by not riding dividing. They ignore the glorious riches of God's grace, taking on something that God is not even doing. The glorious dispensation of the grace of God given Paul. And God made it known to Paul. It was a mystery. God never brought it out before he gave it to Paul. Paul learned it the only way he could, by being revealed to him, by revelation. A dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles given to Paul for this will present God. When you read about Paul says, you know, he says, if you want to know about this mystery, this plan that God told nobody about, well, you got to go. You got to read it from Paul. When you read, you got to read what he wrote down. He's gotten 13 letters in the Bible that God wanted him to put down, and it tells about a mystery. And if you want to know the mystery revealed to you, you got to read about it. It's about a body where Gentiles and Jews, there's no difference. There's no nation over other nations. There's no kings and priests over other nations. It's about a body where there's fellow heirship. There's no difference. A body where everyone is equal in God's plan, equally receives the glorious riches of God for a purpose of the present will of God, a body to be caught up to a heavenly inheritance. An inheritance above the earth. And you get into God's plan, this dispensation of grace plan. It was given to Paul. And you know, the will of God now is not to endure to the end. You get everything of God right up front. Right up front. When you believe the gospel that puts you into God's present will, the gospel that gave God Paul, the one he calls my gospel. Remember, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel that saves a soul and puts them into God's present will. It's not enduring to the end. It's believing this statement of the glorious work of our Savior on the cross on our behalf. The glorious statement where you're saved by grace through faith. For I delivered unto you first of all, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, given to Paul, the one he preached, the one he calls my gospel and the word of God, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, that is so rich, so glorious, so powerful toward us. Isn't it a wonderfully powerful to know that the work that Christ did takes away that separation that you had from God? By believing the work that Christ did, it takes away that which separated you from God. This tells of the glorious power of his resurrection toward you, is that he died for our sins. You can ask people all day long what how they saved, who saved them, what is your gospel of salvation, and most of the time, 99% of the time, they'll tell you everything except that Christ died for your sins. They'll tell you that plus something else. Plus all the you gotta's that they can think of. You gotta let them into your heart. You gotta go to the altar. You gotta get baptized. You gotta get this. You gotta do that. But that's not what the gospel of the grace of God says. It don't have a lot of you gotta's, you gotta's, you gotta do. It has this glorious statement of the complete work of the Savior. He died for our sins. He was buried and risen again the third day according to the scriptures. That takes care of the problem. That takes care of the problem for anyone who believes it. And that puts you in God's present will, in God's present time, in God's present purpose. And it's by the completed work of the Savior. All you do, you don't work to get it. All you do is believe the statement of his complete work. His complete work in your behalf for the salvation of your soul. In this dispensational purpose that God is presently doing, this dispensation of grace, God tells us that he keeps us eternally. You know, Jude, in that tribulation, the unction will be for the saints of Israel. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves, endure to the end, stand steadfast. That'll be the tribulation doctrine. But now, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have that up front. We don't get that at the end of our lives. We have that at the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. The very moment we are kept and sealed by him. We are sealed by the Savior. The few moments that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again. They're talking about Jesus, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wow! The redemption of the purchased possession, the Holy Spirit and stay in you, going to be your earnest until you're caught up. You're redeemed from this earth. And that's some glorious truth, and it's in spite of yourself. It's in spite of myself. And because all you have to do is believe on what Christ did at the cross, and you have this glorious truth toward you, the glorious will of God presently. See, these scriptures that involve Paul's doctrine, that is what God is presently doing. These scriptures we're looking at from Paul's doctrine, they don't involve enduring to the end. They're telling you the but now purpose of God is that Jesus did it all, it's all done, and he has we don't endure to the end to get some kingdom on earth. That's what God promises to Israel. We are saved by grace into a body that will be caught up in the air for the heavenly inheritance. See, the heavens need to be reconciled, and the earth needs to be reconciled unto God. It's through the cross, the blood, through the blood of the cross for Israel, under the earthly plan prophesied. That's what Jude talks about. And Hebrews through Revelation talks about. But it's through the cross, through the blood of his cross, for the heavenly purpose, through what was given Paul. There are two inheritances. Right now, we're in that inheritance for the body of Christ. We're to be caught up. We get everything of God up front, in spite of what you go through on earth. You have everything of God, and you're in His purpose and plan, and you're never taken out. You're sealed until the day of redemption, the moment you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and risen. In the tribulation, they will have to show faith and works to get into a kingdom promised the Jews and of Israel. And that will be doctrine for the Jews of Israel. There will be a favored person circumstance after we are caught up. In this dispensation, presently, this dispensation of grace that is given Paul for the present purpose, God wants us to do good works, and we are commanded so by Paul. The believer presently has every spiritual thing that God has to give. At the judgment seat of Christ, we may suffer loss for bad things we do, but our salvation is never to be taken away. We don't have to endure to the end. We'll suffer loss for bad works, which is a good reason to do good things because of the cross. But in spite of that, our salvation is never taken away. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. Because of this, because it is a dispensation of the grace of God, we don't have to endure to the end. We are to respond to God as those in His love, doing good works, because Christ died for our sins, was buried and risen again. Not to try to get into something that's not for us, not to get into an earthly kingdom. We do good works. There should be an outflow of the love of God for us because He died for our sins and is risen. And we are in a dispensation of grace. We get to heaven by trusting the gospel in spite of what we do. But we are to use that rather as unction, the power of His resurrection toward us. We should let that which Christ did for us be we should let it be expressed in our walk. Let the Spirit express Himself in us and desire to do good works. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, you don't have to endure to the end to get into God's will presently. You know, it's not good to grieve the Holy Spirit. But notice, in spite of grieving the Holy Spirit, you're still sealed unto the day of redemption. So the thing is, God doesn't want you to grieve the Holy Spirit. Taking on a plan of Israel and saying you're Israel and telling everybody they have to endure to the end. If you're saved and doing that, that's a big grieving to the Holy Spirit. But in spite of you doing something that grieves the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, you're going to heaven anyway. You lose some rewards, but you're going to heaven anyway. You'll never see the heat of hell. You'll be in heaven's glory forever because of the dispensation of grace purpose of God. Therefore, we're to, as Titus shows us, a way to walk in the present with God. For the grace of God, Paul wrote this to Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what we are looking for. We're not looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life that the kingdom saints will be looking for. We are looking for the blessed hope of our heavenly inheritance, that glorious appearing in the air of our Savior. When He appears, we shall also appear with Him in glory. We're not of an earthly kingdom purpose. We're of a purpose in glory. There are two purposes in God's Word. We're of the mystery revealed purpose, a body to be caught up in the air, to rule in the heavens. That's one that people are not taught to understand or are not rightly dividing. and but that's the glorious purpose presently. The saints of Israel will be under, in that future tribulation, the saints of Israel in that tribulation will be under Jude's doctrine of keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But God is not operating in that mode at this time. God presently would have us to understand and respond to the fact that in this dispensation of the grace of God, which is before the tribulation, in this present dispensation of the grace of God, He keeps us. We are kept by the Lord Himself. We are in a dispensation of His grace. We don't have to keep ourselves. We don't have to endure to do it. We should understand that we are in a dispensation of grace where the Lord keeps us. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. When you trusted that Jesus Christ died for your sins, if you have trusted that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again, you know what? You committed your whole being unto Him, your whole life unto Him. That's your eternal circumstance you committed unto Him. And you should be just as persuaded, in spite of everything, you should be persuaded that, yes, Christ died for my sins. Yes, He was buried and risen again. And He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you committed yourself to Him. And all you have to do to commit your eternal life to Him is to trust what He did. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and risen again as our Savior. And you'll be saved in God's present purpose. Now is the time of salvation. Not in the future. You won't be saved in that tribulation. If you've denied Him, denied that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again, if you have rejected that truth now, how are you going to accept it in a great tribulation? Just tell me that. If you have rejected that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again in a dispensation of the grace of God, and you're trying to work to get to heaven, how are you going to accept Him in a time of tribulation? You're surely not going to accept Him in the tribulation. That's the truth. So now is the time of salvation. It's by what Christ did at the cross, His death for our sins. And therefore, we should know the doctrinal differences in God's Word. We should give to Israel their program in honor of God's Word and rightly divide that form that from what is given to us in Paul's writings in Romans through Philemon. Those 13 letters of Paul are for the present will of God. All the rest of the Bible will tell you God's will for Israel, a kingdom on this earth. But those 13 letters written about a mystery revealed to Paul are what God is presently doing. And we should understand the differences and respect the differences and rightly divide the word of truth. Just like it was given Paul by the Lord, it was given Paul to tell us we should study to show thyself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you, folks, for the study time, for coming to the study today. I appreciate you coming by. In a few minutes, there's going to be a room opened up called a Shorewood Bible Church room.